It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Wash, rinse, and repeat. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Yeah, New York and Pennsylvania, not out of the wet woods yet.
It just continues day after day. It's just been a very rainy month.
Storms that blew through last night caused road closures, home damage, and even led to some water rescues near Philadelphia.
It just seems like we never get a break. You know, from one storm to the next.
Meteorologist Kevin Williams calling for more drenching downpours today and tomorrow. His forecast is on the way. Lone Star standoff. That is the other big story this Tuesday afternoon.
It's like during a football game or baseball game, taking their equipment when they're way behind and just leaving the field.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is not happy after dozens of Democrats fled Austin to avoid a vote on election reform. They hopped on an airplane and headed to D.C. Senator John Cornyn says this is not the first time the Dems have done that.
Well, it was a stunt then, and it's a stunt now. That's all it is.
But Vice President Kamala Harris applauds the act of civil disobedience.
I applaud them standing for the rights of all Americans and all Texans to express their voice through their vote.
Governor Abbott says there's nothing admirable about this action, and he notes the Democrats can't stay away forever.
Once they step back into the state of Texas, they will be arrested and brought to the Texas Capitol, and we will be conducting business.
The Dems bolted to deny Republicans a quorum, the votes that they would need to move voting reforms forward. They're vowing to stay in D.C. until the Texas special session ends in August.
There is nothing special about this special session. This is a suppression session. We're not going to put up with that. Democracy is on the line. The eyes of the nation are on Texas.
More than 50 Democrats walked out and flew to D.C. so the Texas State House would not have enough members to conduct official business. President Biden in Philadelphia today talking about voting reforms and voting rights. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
He'll lay out the moral case for why denying the right to vote is a form of suppression and a form of silencing.
The speech comes after Senate Republicans successfully blocked the For the People Act, which would have nationalized our elections. Recently, the U.S. Supreme Court said that states have the right to set their own voting standards. Protests continue in communist Cuba. Thousands have taken to the streets demanding freedom from the Marxist regime. President Biden praising those protesters and calling on the Cuban government to refrain from silencing the people.
The Cuban people demanding their freedom from an authoritarian regime. And I don't think we've seen anything like this protest in a long, long time.
Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez.
They want basic human rights, which have been denied to them for 60 years. And so what you're seeing now is the young people that have actually grown up in the system have figured out, hey, this system doesn't work, all because of the failed economic policies of communism. And let's call it what it is.
Cuba's president blaming the discontent on U.S. sanctions, which have crippled the communist regime. Officials in Havana have cut off internet and cell service to try and defuse the demonstrations. Police in Haiti say a 62-year-old businessman living in Florida who's now under arrest is one of the key suspects in the assassination of Haiti's president. Those close to the suspect tell the Associated Press he thought the plan was to arrest the president, not to kill him. Correspondent Mola Lange has more from Port-au-Prince.
Most of the Colombians alleged to have been involved have been arrested, as have two Haitian Americans who claim they were hired as translators. But just how the assassins breached three security checkpoints is still unknown, and none of the president's guards were wounded in the violent attack, raising the possibility the attackers had inside help.
A new warning today about rare nerve damage linked to the single-shot COVID vaccine from Johnson & Johnson.
The FDA's new warning about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine relates to a rare autoimmune disorder, Guillain-Barré, which is a possible side effect. CBS's Dr. David Agus.
There have been 100 to date with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, so it is remarkably rare after 12.8 million doses of vaccine have been administered here in the United States.
Those most likely to get Guillain-Barré are men over 50. Symptoms include muscle weakness and usually appear within 2 weeks after the shot.
Correspondent Steve Farterman, firefighters in seven western states battle battling 50 massive wildfires, and they're doing it in triple-digit heat.
That fire can be on the other side of that mountain, and it could put embers down in the middle of this town and burn this town to the ground.
That rancher lives near Yosemite National Park, where the river fire is closing in on residential neighborhoods. Searing heat, windy conditions, raising red flag warnings throughout the West. Correspondent Lilia Luciano.
In Oregon, the nation's biggest fire is continuing to grow exponentially.
We are seeing doubling in size of the fire every 24 hours.
And that wildfire near the state's southern border has affected power lines, now threatening the electric grid in parts of Oregon and California.
They were playing long ball last night at Coors Field in Denver. New York Mets first baseman Pete Alonso proved he is the best power hitter on the planet by winning Major League Baseball's Home Run Derby.
Alonso comes out of a timeout and walks it off. What a finish!
Alonso banged out 74 dingers to repeat as champ. He got $1 million for winning the Derby, which, oddly enough, is more than his $675,000 a year salary. Baseball's All-Star Game is tonight on Fox. First pitch set for 8 p.m. from Denver, Colorado. Still to come on the Noon Report for Tuesday, pastors compelled to report, Chick-fil-A under the gun, and storm damage in the northern tier.
Well, good afternoon to all. We're keeping our eyes on the skies. Thunderstorms will be flashing and splashing their way through parts of our area into tonight. Forecast details coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. See you then. Severe weather last night near Towanda, Pennsylvania. Trees were uprooted. Homes were flooded after powerful storms blew through. A trailer park in the town of Roseville had to be evacuated due to all that water.
The streams all kind of collect. Little ponds overflow. And, you know, the water's got to go somewhere. And so what happens is it comes down from the hill into this neighborhood.
Relentless rain turning quiet streams into raging rivers in Bradford County. Firefighters have been working round the clock, pumping out flooded basements. A state of emergency expired at midnight last night in Hancock, New York. They're in drenched Delaware County. Police in Tompkins County, New York, investigating a couple of drownings that happened last night near the town of Newfield.
At this time, it doesn't look like any foul play. You know, it was accidental at this point.
That's Lieutenant Kyle Koskinen with the Tompkins County Sheriff's Office.
Streams are very high from the recent rain that we've had going at a very heavy rate right now.
The drownings happened in the west branch of the Cayuga Inlet there in Newfield. No names released at this hour. A new Siena College poll shows nearly 7 in 10 New York State residents believe the worst of the COVID pandemic is behind us. 17% think the worst is still to come. That poll shows a majority of New Yorkers, 51%, felt depressed during the pandemic. Buffalo, New York school superintendent Dr. Kreiner Cash says it's too soon to tell if kids will be forced to wear masks back to school in the fall. He adds the trend is not their friend when it comes to COVID.
There are variants starting to tick up, and there are large gatherings happening throughout the summer. And still, too many of our young people have not been vaccinated.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the country's largest school district will require masks in the classroom in the fall. This despite the CDC saying that vaccinated teachers and students can ditch the masks. De Blasio cites that Delta variant and a leveling off of inoculations as the reason for bringing masks back to school. Pennsylvania parents have until this Thursday, July 15th, to decide if they want their child to repeat a grade in school. Newly signed legislation would allow students to repeat a grade due to the learning loss caused by the pandemic. The new law does not grant extra eligibility, however, for high school athletes. Gay rights activists are protesting a plan to erect Chick-fil-A restaurants at service stations all along the New York State Thruway. That Atlanta-based fast food chain facing opposition because of its support of biblical marriage. Manhattan Assemblywoman Deborah Glick believes Chick-fil-A should not be doing business with the state of New York.
Chick-fil-A has a long history of active involvement in supporting anti-gay activities.
But State Senator George Borrello says Chick-fil-A is wildly popular and politics should not be driving this debate.
I think bringing Chick-fil-A as an option to thruway service areas is a good business decision.
The Chick-fil-A restaurants on Interstate 90, all part of a nearly $500 million redevelopment project that is underway by the New York State Thruway Authority. Unemployed Pennsylvanians are bracing for changes in how jobless benefits are doled out. Starting July 18th, next Sunday, those seeking unemployment must attest that they've applied for at least two jobs and completed a work search program such as attending a job fair. Advocates in Albany are asking New York lawmakers to return to the Capitol and approve a bill that would seal and expunge criminal records. Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
A coalition of labor unions, survivor and victim organizations, civil rights groups, and legal services are pressuring state lawmakers to pass what's called the Clean Slate Bill. More than 100 organizations argue the sealing and expungement of many criminal records would help people with prior convictions get a job, housing, or further their education. Right now, there's no word on if lawmakers would reconvene before the scheduled return in January. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you, Jeremy. A key Republican in Harrisburg calling for greater transparency in how the state's congressional map is redrawn. State Representative Seth Grove will hold at least 8 public hearings across the Commonwealth and accept suggestions for the New Look map on a New Look website. The Commonwealth will be losing 1 seat in Congress next year. A New York lawmaker wants to expand child abuse reporting in the Empire State. Assemblywoman Monica Wallace says clergy should be added to the list of people who have to blow the whistle on suspected abuse.
We need to make sure that clergy and priests from every denomination are added to the list, the very, very long list of mandatory reporters of child abuse that already exists in New York law.
Wallace is sponsoring the Child Abuse Reporting Expansion Act. It adds religious leaders to the list of people like custodians, teachers, and social workers who are compelled by law to report child abuse to police. New Yorkers are being warned about a new text messaging scam. It tells people they need to renew their driver's license. If you get such a text, delete it immediately. It's what's known as a phishing scam, and it's all about trying to gain access to your personal information. The Little League World Series is going to look a whole lot different this year in Williamsport, PA. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The most notable difference this year, the tournament will be played with only teams from the United States. There will also be mandatory COVID testing for all players, coaches, and umpires, regardless of their vaccination status. Attendance at games will be limited, with each team receiving 250 passes. The Little League World Series is set for August 19th through the 29th in South Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. From pint-sized baseball to the big leagues, Sonny's next with a two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start with the Home Run Derby. Mets slugger Pete Alonso was the defending champion. There was no Home Run Derby last year, of course, so he won back in 2019 and in 2021. Wow.
And walks it off. What a finish. Alonso defends his title, the 2021 Derby.
Alonso hit 23 homers in the final round to beat Orioles slugger Trey Mancini to claim back-to-back home run derbies after winning in 2019. Alonso hit a whopping 35 homers in the opening round. He dispatched of Kansas City Salvador Perez. In the second round, Alonso worked his way past Washington's Juan Soto, who had just beaten Angels' Shohei Ohtani in the first round. Afterwards, Pete Alonso.
I'm a power hitter, and for me, I think I'm the best power hitter on the planet, and be able to showcase that and really put on a fun display for fans. I just think that it's truly a dream come true for me.
And if you don't know, Trey Mancini from the Orioles, the runner-up, did not play last year as he was battling cancer. What a way to bounce back.
The last year and a half was, something that you have nightmares about, and to be here a year later and make it to the finals was incredible.
That was the appetizer tonight, the main course, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. Los Angeles Angels two-way superstar Shohei Ohtani lead off both on the mound and as a batter. He was announced as the starting pitcher for the American League. He'll bat lead off for the group. Washington Nationals pitcher Max Scherzer has been tapped to start for the National League. The U.S. Olympic men's basketball team has now lost back-to-back exhibition games for the first time since pros joined the roster. In 1992, Australia beat the Americans 91-83 last night. Greg Popovich was asked, why aren't you blowing these teams out?
Nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on. And that's incorrect.
Before these back-to-back losses, Team USA was 54-2 in exhibition games. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
All right, let's hope they get it together by Tokyo. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, is communism coming to an end in Cuba? Texas Democrats bolt for D.C. and wicked weather coast to coast, rain in the east, hot out west. Kevin Williams in 4 minutes.
How can we as parents help our kids flourish in a world with pornography that's far too easy to access? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A few years ago, a woman spotted her teenage son's laptop sitting on the kitchen counter. She opened the lid, and what she saw horrified her. It was a series of pornographic pictures. When she clicked on one image, a sexually explicit video began to run. Check of her son's browser history just revealed this was not the first time her son had accessed pornography. Now, this woman was shocked, but she should not have been. As Josh McDowell once told me, the question, John, he said, is not if my kids will see pornography, but what will I do when it happens? In their new book titled Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World, authors Daniel Weiss and Joshua Glaser note that today's parents are the first ones in history to bring up children in such a digitally connected, pornography-saturated world. Pornography is so prevalent that while parents should certainly do everything they can to protect their kids from these vile images, they should also accept the fact that sexual brokenness will confront their children's eyes, their imaginations at some point. In fact, the sexual brokenness we see front and center that's not considered pornography today would of course been considered pornography just yesterday. Not to mention all the messaging that we get about the new norms of sexual behavior. The moral of this whole story is not that kids are looking for pornography. It's that pornography is actively hunting down and looking for our kids. It's so pervasive. Many children are first exposed to pornography by the time they're 7 years old. This exposure harms them in all kinds of ways. It perverts their understanding of sexuality. It stunts their capacity to process emotions, cripples their ability to form long-term relationships. All of this according to Weiss and Glaser. Because they're so young, they think that what they see in pornographic images is normal. This is why parents need to learn how to talk about the dangers of pornography with their sons and daughters before they see it, even though that's a difficult thing to do. And the right place for parents to start is by understanding and communicating God's plans and purposes for human sexuality, to help their kids grasp what sexuality means as God intended, and to embrace the beauty and goodness of sexuality within the context of lifelong married love. Second, they need to understand just how easy it is to become addicted to porn. What starts as curiosity can become almost uncontrollable. This is uncomfortable, but if you've struggled with pornography yourself, says Weiss and Glaser, share it with your kids. This helps kids understand that our concerns about online sexual content are rooted in real personal experience, and that we're not perfect, and that they don't have to pretend to be perfect either, but that together we can help them navigate these very difficult waters. Third, set up clear digital boundaries with your kids. There's all kinds of resources out there, internet filters, ad blockers, accountability software. Teach your kids what they should do if they come across inappropriate material. Encourage them to come to you. Your goal is to guide them, to guard them, to help them grow in online responsibility. And the ultimate goal is to help kids towards greater spiritual maturity, maturity that will help them resist temptation when they're no longer under the same roof. Learn more about how to keep pornography from becoming a problem for your kids and how to help your kids if it has become a problem. Pick up a copy of Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World. That's Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World. Come to Breakpoint.org for more information. This book is like a guiding torch for anyone, especially any parent, who wishes to help the next generation thrive in this hyper-sexualized and predatory world. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
All right, John, thank you for that. We're coming up on 20 past the hour. Let's talk weather next.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Mostly cloudy and very humid and warm. There'll be a few showers and thunderstorms in the area into the evening hours. Any thunderstorm will have the potential of producing a drenching, flooding downpour and some strong damaging wind gusts. High temperatures in the 80s. Later tonight, leftover clouds, patchy fog, a shower and muggy low near 70. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a couple of showers and thunderstorms. Humid, the high in the upper 70s to mid 80s. Thursday, partly sunny, just a slight chance of a shower and thunder shower. The high Thursday, well into the 80s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Weather, the big story today from coast to coast. Relentless rain in the east, unbearable heat out west. And we'll start where most of us are, on the east coast. Drenching downpours the past few days, causing significant flooding in parts of New York and Pennsylvania.
I'm scared. I'm shaking. Everything around my bed and everything was just full of water.
10 inches of rain last night forced evacuations in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
I grew up here, man. I've never seen this.
The water's up to the top of the seats.
Cars trapped in floodwaters in downtown Philly. The wet weather, a stark contrast to the bone dry conditions out west.
That moment when you open the oven and that gust of heat hits you in the face. That is exactly what it feels like.
Blistering summer conditions continue to pack a punch.
It's too hot.
Heat relief is coming slowly for the Pacific Northwest, and not soon enough for this woman in Las Vegas.
Just try to stay inside and hydrate.
Hydrate, that's the key. Temperatures will remain above 100 degrees for the rest of the week in Las Vegas. The high heat has sparked 50 wildfires in 7 western states. Dozens of Texas Democrats hopped flights to D.C. last night to try and torpedo a special session of the state legislature that was called by Republicans.
I left because I am tired of sitting as a hostage in the Texas House of Representatives, while Republicans strip away the rights of my constituents to vote.
That Houston representative explaining why she boarded a private jet and got out of Dodge, so to speak, Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn.
It's a very un-Texan thing to do, to cut and run in the face of a fight.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the political stunt is a dereliction of duty. The Dems vowed to remain in D.C. until the special session ends in early August. Cuba is cracking down on protesters who are waving American flags in the streets of Havana, demanding an end to authoritative rule. The communists in control have cut internet and cell phone service on the island. Mike Gonzalez at the Heritage Foundation fled Cuba when he was a teenager.
Socialism, it just has a perfect record of failure, as we have seen in Cuba and everywhere else. It has been tried. And this is a warning for us here in the United States not to try this. The best way we can help the people of Cuba is by remaining free ourselves.
Cuba's president blames the protests on the U.S. government for imposing sanctions on that Marxist regime. Florida Congressman Carlos Jimenez calls those claims nonsense.
This is all Cuba's doing. They've been rationing food for decades because the system doesn't work for the people in power. It works for them. For the vast majority of the Cuban people, it doesn't work, and they've had enough. That's why they're shouting libertad. Libertad is liberty. They're not shouting, you know, vacuna, which is vaccine. They're shouting libertad, liberty. They want their liberty. They want to be free.
The FDA attaching a warning to the Johnson & Johnson COVID shot. It's because of an increased risk for a rare neurological disorder.
It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome, and it's a condition in which the immune system mistakenly attacks healthy nerves. It can cause paralysis.
I went to being physically fit to being in a wheelchair.
62-year-old Tom Gorman told NBC News it happened after he received a Johnson & Johnson COVID shot. At least 13 million people have gotten the J&J vax. Just 100 have developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. No similar issue with the Moderna or Pfizer vaccines.
A bizarre story out of Iraq today. The death toll has risen to 64 following a catastrophic fire at a hospital in the southern city of Nasiriya. More than 100 were injured when a blaze torched the coronavirus ward of that hospital. And officials say sparks from bad wiring blew up an oxygen tank. That's what started that horrific fire. A Rhode Island mom says she was sued by her daughter's school for seeking information about some controversial curriculum. Nicole Solis explains what prompted her probe into critical race theory.
One question that I submitted was evidence of systemic racism. Schools are declaring that their entire school district is systemically racist, so it's reasonable to ask for evidence.
Solis says she found evidence that critical race theory is being taught in school, and parents have the right to know why. Another parent, Ashley Jacobs, has started a group called Parents United K through 12 to fight what she calls indoctrination in the classroom.
When you basically have a teacher or a school telling you that there's only one way to approach things or one way to think, you start to self-censor. You get groupthink. I'm not sure how that makes anybody smarter or better.
Oklahoma's just voted to ban critical race theory in the classroom. Any teacher there that ignores the ban could have their license suspended. 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes on Family Life. I'm your host, Bill Price. Our guest this week, Eric Foster from Canandaigua, New York. 3 years ago, drug dealers were trying to kill him. Today, he works for the federal government.
You say you grew up with the business of church. Share with us your struggles, Eric, and how you were able to overcome them.
I remember when I was growing up with my grandparents, life was tough. It was fair, but it was tough. And I learned how to sit still and be attentive. I learned how to speak to my elders, only when spoken to, of course. those were the days of, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. The business of church was shown in other ways. The consideration of appearances was given much weight, you know, or saying the right thing the right way. It was a must. But personal struggles with family issues like infidelity, alcohol, drugs, and domestic violence, they were kept under wraps.
We have so many people that call in struggling with addiction, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex. You've done it all, Eric. Share with us, if you would, your story and that moment where God stepped in and turned your life around.
There were many moments because I'm a pretty stubborn guy. Made a profession of faith when I was 12, baptized. As I got older and I started seeing more of the world, I started picking up some things that were not beneficial to me. I picked up bad habits, and I experienced a trauma when I was 19. A young lady that I met at another affiliate church of ours, I asked her to marry me. She said yes, and in a short period of time, she changed her mind and gave me the ring back, and I was devastated. And like so many Christians, we really thrive when things are going well. But when things get difficult, that's where the maturity in the spirit kicks in. And I was immature, and I blamed God for my emotional hurt. It took me 35 years to give up fighting God. But the next 35 years, I was in and out, wrestling with this hurt. I got caught up in selling drugs, using drugs, and participating in morally reprehensible behaviors. I found myself emotionally, mentally, and spiritually bankrupt.
You're listening to Hometown Heroes on Family Life. Our guest this week, Eric Foster from Canandaigua, New York. Do you remember that exact moment when God stepped in? Where were you? What were you doing?
I was in a crack house. It was 3 years ago. I was on probation, and I was afraid to go outside. I was in this crack house, and drug dealers were threatening my life. And at that moment, the noise in my head stopped. The pain, the hole in my spirit started to become filled. And I had a moment, what they call in recovery circles, I had a moment of clarity. And the Spirit of God spoke to me in that moment and said, this is not where I intend for you to be. And somehow, I don't know how, it was just through the grace of God, I was able to make a phone call, and God has placed people in my life that were praying for me over years and years of watching me struggle. And they were relentless in their pursuit of God for his healing and transformation in my life. And I called the person and I said, you have to come and get me because I'm going to die out here. And I don't believe this is where God wants me. And for the first time in many, many years, I felt a sense of peace. And it has been 3 years that God has just been blessing. At that time, I was in fear of being prosecuted by the federal government for crimes that I had not been held accountable for. And in 3 short years, God took the obsession and the compulsion for drinking and drugging. From that moment, I have not had a craving. And just to let you know, Bill, that same guy who was in fear of being prosecuted by the federal government is today a federal employee.
Once you figure that one out, let me know, because I'm dying to know. A convicted felon now works for the federal government. How you were able to overcome your addiction and where you're at now in life. And like you said, it's amazing what the Lord can do with a lump of dirt.
Going right back to Adam. He formed him out of dirt, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And from that, we are all descended from that greatest creative act. And I do not want to miss an opportunity to let someone know that they are so much more, that we are his masterpiece.
That's Eric Foster from Canandaigua, New York, this week's Hometown Hero. Join us next week as we search for your home, your town, your hero. It's Hometown Heroes on Family Life.
All right, Bill, thank you for that. And Hometown Heroes comes your way every Tuesday during the Noon Report. You can also catch it online anytime. Just go to familylife.org, click on the News tab.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A warm, sticky air mass in place this afternoon, being acted upon by an old front and a little bit of sun to pop thunderstorms that can, on a localized basis, be strong. Keep an eye on the sky. The weather stays unsettled tonight and tomorrow. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy and very humid and warm. There'll be a few showers and thunderstorms in the area into the evening hours. Any thunderstorm will have the potential, on a localized basis, of producing a drenching, flooding downpour and some strong, damaging wind gusts. High temperatures in the 80s. Later tonight, leftover clouds, patchy fog, a shower and muggy, low near 70. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a couple of showers and thunderstorms. Humid, the high in the upper 70s to mid 80s. Thursday, partly sunny, just a slight chance of a shower and thundershower. The high Thursday, well into the 80s.
All right, we'll try out eventually. Thank you, Kevin. Finally, Noon, if ever there was a day to have fries with that, well, today's that day.
It is National French Fry Day, and there are plenty of places with deals. McDonald's will give its reward members a free medium-sized fry with their app. Burger King will be offering large fries for $1 through their app. And Hardee's will give you a free small fry and drink if you purchase any original Angus burger. There is some controversy about how the fried potatoes originated, as the French claim that they came up with the food in the 18th century. But some historical accounts say Belgians actually concocted the idea a century earlier. I'm Mark Mayfield.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. That's the world we live in. Tuesday, July 13th. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.